Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
This is Stephanie White from LouisvilleFamilyFun.net, and I'm here on your Friday podcast on Louisville.am. Going to kick your weekend off with some ideas for things to do, of course. And this week, we have one of our local favorites that we're going to feature, and that's the Louisville Zoo. Everybody loves a good day at the zoo. And with fall approaching, I can't think of a better time to go walking around the zoo. They have special events in the fall, and plus this, with the cooler weather, it's just so much more enjoyable than just fighting the heat while you're there. So we have Kyle Shepherd this week on the Louisville Family Fun podcast. She is the media relations manager for the Louisville Zoo. So hopefully you'll listen to this podcast, and then the next time you go to the zoo, you will have a new perspective on things, learning about some of the behind-the-scenes things about the zoo, but also maybe some tidbits that you didn't know. So that when you go, you look around and say, oh, that's what they were talking about. And you can teach something to your kids about the zoo that you haven't seen or read while you were there. So we're so excited to talk to you about the zoo this week. I know my family's planning some zoo trips this fall. The other thing is, you got to tune in till the end, because Kyle Shepherd is going to deliver a Friday funny for you. And we want to kick off your weekend with a joke, some laughter that you can bring to the kids and get the ball rolling on a fun weekend. So make sure you tune into the end for the Friday funny this week. And here we go. Let's talk about the Louisville Zoo with Kyle Shepherd.
So we're going to talk about the zoo today, the Louisville Zoo. We're so lucky to have a moderate, I don't want that to sound like a negative word, but I think it's a lovely sized zoo here in Louisville, totally doable for families. And with me today, like I mentioned, we have Kyle Shepherd. She's the media relations manager, and she's just going to relate information to you about the zoo. And hopefully, I know if you're listening to this, that means you're an engaged, active parent in the Louisville area, and you've probably been to the zoo. You've probably been to the zoo a dozen times. Hopefully, you've been to the zoo that many times. But hopefully, after this podcast, you'll learn some things that you didn't know, because every time you go to the zoo, you should be learning something new. I did not mean to rhyme that, but I'm into rhyming today. I have a 6 and a 5-year-old. We rhyme, and it's funny. So anyway, Kyle, please share with people what you do at the zoo on a daily basis. You don't just go and browse the animals like we do as visitors. So tell people about your role at the zoo.
Well, first of all, thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
We love your idea of Louisville Family Fun. There's lots of fun to be had in Louisville for families.
Of course.
And the zoo is one of those places. So I am the media relations manager, like you said, and I basically relate to the media. I am the liaison for the media, which means I get to do some pretty cool things. I do behind-the-scenes tours with some of our media folk. If we've got a story, for instance, one of the most cool stories I've done in my career here is when we did the Apps for Apes program, which is a program for enrichment for our orangutans, and we got an iPad, and they have apps on this iPad that the orangs interact with.
That is so cool.
It was a really fun story.
I love the orangutans.
So, yes, so Amber and Teak and Segundo and Bella have learn to master these apps, and there's like a xylophone app, and there's a piano app, and there's some sort of space rock app that they do, and I think Bella really likes the xylophone, and I think Amber really likes the piano app, so
yeah,
with some musical orangutans.
So you get to go through all these opportunities when people come in and want to write about these new things, or, you know, put it on TV or do segments and explore those with everybody.
Absolutely. So my job is to just keep us in the forefront of the media if we can.
Yeah, make sure families know
that
it's evolving. There's things going on at the zoo that are different.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
You've got it.
I love it. Of course I have it. I've got it. I am media. I pay attention to all of these media things. So I've zipped around. I've been one of those zippers on the golf cart with you at the zoo. So it is definitely fun to be at the zoo. And I can tell you, when you're working on kind of your role at the zoo, they've got, Kyle rides around, she's got her, you know, walkie-talkies. All the zoo people are connected, that's constantly true. Talking and totally paying attention to every aspect of the zoo. So I'm sure there is more that you do besides media relations just because you're there and you're on
that
a team.
That is true.
You know,
that's true. That
you're
is
always
true.
You're always involved with things. So I'm always noticing on, because I follow the zoo on Facebook, Twitter, and all those things, and you guys are so proud of your animals. So if something new and exciting happens, you let everyone know. And of course, everybody knows about the polar bears and Glacier Run. That was huge, mm-hmm. and it's such a wonderful addition. But what else has been going on recently that people need to know about, like new things at the zoo?
Well, the newest phase of Glacier Run, actually, the Sea Eagle Aviary just opened not too long ago.
And we've been in there.
It's a beautiful aviary. And the two stellar sea eagles that used to be housed in the giraffe house are now, they have their own aviary, and it's a beautiful aviary. There's a 50-foot tall tree in the center of this aviary, and at the top of that, at about 40 foot, is a nest, and there's a camera on the nest. In case the birds ever should breed, we would be able to watch them nest with their young.
Fantastic.
Which would be cool to watch. So there's a monitor on the outside of the exhibit where they can see that. And then there's also some there's some waterfowl in that exhibit. There's some red-breasted geese.
My daughter goes in there, and I'm like, wow, look at those birds up there, the big eagles. And they'll take off, and she'll be like, ducks!
Yes, yes. There's some measuring ducks and red-breasted geese.
Really? The ducks?
Well, they're closer to them.
I know. The sleeping ducks are what intrigue you.
Exactly. Well, there's a little magpie, too, in that exhibit, which is designed. We put the magpie in there, which, so that people get a sense that they're immersed in that exhibit, because the magpie will fly amongst you in your area and in the exhibit with the eagles. There's a little opening in the mesh where the eagles live, and the magpie will fly throughout those two exhibits to give you a sense that you're immersed in this aviary. So that's a beautiful new exhibit. Snowy Owl is coming. If you've seen construction down by Glacier Run at the foot of the hill, right there by the Splash Park, that's our new Snowy Owl exhibit, which is, it's going to be really cool. Our Snowy Owl is going to be, it's a beautiful creature. If you've ever seen one or can Google one, they are beautiful.
Everyone can Google one. We're on a podcast.
Google it. It's beautiful.
So is there one Snowy Owl going to be there?
Right now there is one, yes. And it will be, we're hoping to, it'll be tractable where we can bring it out in the public and interact with the public with it and teach everybody about Snowy Owl.
That's really cool. So what else? Because I saw a little baby.
Oh, the Wallaroo. That's right. We have a little baby Joey down at the walkabout.
I didn't even know. I think before it got put a nice picture of the Joey on Facebook, we did the walkabout and we saw, but we didn't get a good peek. I basically saw a pouch with some stuff moving around in it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the cool thing. We had to get a perfect picture before we could post it. We have a little Wallaroo down in the walkabout, which is in the foot of the zoo, near Glacier Run, near near Splash Park, all that area, near Lorikeets, if anyone knows where that is.
Right.
And it's a great exhibit because you can walk amongst the Wallaroos and Wallabies in that exhibit. And there is one Wallaroo who has a Joey in her pouch. And, I can't remember the exact time because I'm not a keeper, and those keepers know so much more than I do. But, for a certain amount of time, the little Joey's in the pouch and will emerge, you know, occasionally a foot here or a leg here or something like that.
So what would be the best time, you think? When are they most active?
You know, all of our animals seem to be really most active in the morning and in the evening. So, obviously we open at 10, so getting there right at 10, you're going to see a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, so if you really want to see that new Joey, maybe get to the zoo. Right at 10 and go right down
yes,
to the bottom.
Yes.
You know, we usually start at the top. But
exactly. That's probably what I would say. Because most of our animals are more active in the mornings. That's not a big secret. It just is.
So there's always something new going on at the zoo. Are there any, is the project for the Snowy Owl, the construction, is there something after that? Or is it kind of like you take a break?
Well, ideally we'd like to build exhibits every 5 or so years. So we're working on a capital campaign coming up where we'll look at a few smaller exhibits to build. Among those, hopefully, a snow leopard exhibit.
Oh, okay.
And a couple other things. So here in the future, you'll be seeing some more stuff.
Okay, cool. So you just never know.
You don't. It's true.
You never know.
You've got to keep evolving.
Yeah, and people that love the zoo need to pay attention for those.
Absolutely.
Those capital campaigns and the way to support that, because that's how, if you have a young child at the zoo, they can be a part of watching it grow, seeing it evolve, and you want it to change so that every time you go, there is something new, there's something to learn, and it helps bring people to the city. So
absolutely.
It's always a good thing to support.
And this, you know, this might be a good time to talk about how zoos are, modern zoos are so much more savvy than I think they used to be. You know, when I was growing up, zoos were, you know, concrete and fencing most of the time. And now every exhibit we build has a thematic element of the habitat that those animals come from. So it's more thematic and more teaching you about the whole, you know, ecosystem of that animal and the habitat of that animal, and if there's habitat destruction going on and ways we can help and that type of thing. So everything's it's more of an educational tool. And also, you know, we pay attention to elements, obviously, of their environment and take those, of the wild environment that they would be in, and use those in the exhibits. And something to note that not many people realize, the last three major exhibits that we have built, Glacier Run, Gorilla Forest, and the Islands, have all won AZA exhibit awards. And AZA is the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, which is our governing body and our accreditationing body. And they've given us top exhibit awards for all three of those.
So awesome. Award-winning zoo.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
So right around the corner.
Glacier Run was the best new exhibit.
Well, how could it not be? It's really an amazing exhibit.
It was our largest exhibit, $25.6 million. To build it, and it, like, we opened it in phases. If you recall, we opened a couple phases each year. And best new exhibit in 2013, and we beat some really big exhibits. Like, there was an exhibit in LA that we beat, the Los Angeles Zoo, which was probably twice the amount of our exhibit. So it's pretty awesome to be here in Louisville with that exhibit.
I think it's amazing, and I definitely love it. My kids, it's definitely an attraction, and it you know, it helps the city, because somebody who would go to the website and wonder, oh, should we go to the zoo, or should we go to Louisville and visit the zoo? That would be an exhibit that would draw them in.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And I love how it's situated, kind of central.
Yes.
And so no matter if I go with the kids, we can find a way to scoot in there and see it. And how dynamic it is from above, below. You know, they will run up, the kids, if they see the polar bear swimming. I want to see it. We go downstairs. Okay, quick.
Yes.
Let's get upstairs and see it. Upstairs, I want to see it jump in, you know. Mm-hmm. So they get to see it all, or walk above.
Yeah, it's true. And Cunning is actually a national draw, too, because Cunning is our almost three-year-old polar bear.
That's education in and of itself. Yes. How to say
yes.
That polar bear's
Cunning. It's true. Well, here's what we do. Cunning. She's a cunning bear. So
Cunning.
So, yes, exactly. And that means snowflake in the Inupiat language, where she's from, Alaska. And if you don't know about her, she was born in the wild, separated from her mother and her sibling, and was on her own. And U.S. Fish and Wildlife monitored her in hopes that she might reunite with her mother and sibling. And when that did not happen, she didn't have vital skills, such as she didn't know how to hunt yet, she didn't know how to swim, vital skills for polar bears. And so they did rescue her, and all the zoos in the country wanted her, and the Louisville Zoo got her.
I know,
so we are really, really proud to have her. We're honored to have her.
And she is fun.
She is fun. She's nearly three. She'll be three in January, which is hard to believe. And U.S. Fish and Wildlife didn't know her exact birthday, so they assigned a birthday, January 10th, for her. So she'll be three, and she's a load of fun.
She's got a lot of energy. I have been there right before. The best time, I'll tell people, in my opinion, to see Cunning is right before the feeding, because she knows what's coming and she is just so interactive. The kids, I went this summer and we didn't know, we just got lucky and stumbled upon this. And she was just milling around really close to the glass because she knew, where are they? Where are they with my food? Where are they with my treats? And the kids were just putting their hands up on the glass, and she was standing up really tall, putting her hands up, and that was an awesome time. I know people like to see her swimming and jumping in and playing with all the water stuff, but that time, right, if you can figure out when the training is and get there, not just for the training, but before, when she's out there waiting for the training, she's all agitated and ready to go for those treats. So that's a great time to see her.
Those bears are highly anticipatory. They're curious. They know things. So
yes. Yeah. So anyway, so those are some great things going on at the zoo, some new things to look forward to. But let's talk about some of the, I'm a numbers lady. I like numbers. So let's talk about some of the, do you have any amazing kind of statistics, even if they're rough, to share with people? Kind of how many animals are at the zoo? I don't even know that.
Oh, well, we've got, we prefer to say we have 1,700 species. That's okay. A little easier to say. 1,700 species. And let's see. Here's a wow number.
Yeah, give me a wow.
Our food budget alone.
Yes.
Food budget.
Okay.
So this is to feed the animals, which get the, they eat better than we do. They get the toppest quality of meats, cuts of meat, and the freshest of produce. And they eat like they should, and we don't.
No.
And, for the food budget alone, it's $400,000.
So, $400,000 a year.
Yes, a year
to feed the animals. Where's the food come from?
Well, we have produce companies that
That's what I wonder. Is there zoo catering companies for animals?
Well, we have food produce companies and meat companies, of course. And we have a commissary on campus. This is actually interesting that not a lot of people know. When I was doing my tour for the first, day, they were like, and that's the commissary. And I'm like, oh, that's the people food cafeteria. Nope, it's the animal food cafeteria. And it's basically our keepers, there are two or three keepers who work in there who prepare the diets for the animals. So
very interesting.
Yes, so they know exactly what these animals eat. They prepare the diets. They take them to the areas so that the keepers can give the diets to the animals. And, we're talking specific diets, the orangs eat a bunch of vegetables and fruit, and the gorillas eat fruit, and of course the carnivores eat meat. So
right.
You can walk into that commissary, and there's a freezer in there and a refrigerator in there, and it's kind of interesting what you see in the refrigerator. You'll see these huge pounds of carrots, and they eat better than we do. They really do.
Really fresh and raw, and I'm sure. I just can't even imagine the amount of food that is.
It's a lot. Well, for instance, this is just one sort of statistic that kind of blows my mind. We have Bart, who is a 16-year-old sea lion in Glacier Run.
Right.
He's a big boy. He's a big boy. And at certain times of the year, he can eat up to 45, 50 pounds of fish a day.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a lot of fish. That's a lot of herring. That's a lot of capelin.
That is insane.
Yeah, and that's just one of the examples. So,
right.
Yeah.
And so that's like storing up at that time of the year to eat that much.
That is true. And another fun thing people should look for that they may not realize exists is enrichment, what we call enrichment, which is basically stimulating the animal and engaging the animal. And it could be something as simple as, for instance, we have Halloween coming up and our world's largest Halloween party. Well, afterwards, there's lots of pumpkin left over that we have used to decorate the campus. So we will give the lions a pumpkin or the grizzly bears a pumpkin, and that's interaction for them. That's something that's in their environment that they don't always get, that they'll interact with and eat or pounce on or throw or whatever they do with it.
Right.
So be looking for those types of things, pumpkins. Or if you walk by the main wolf yard, for instance, and you see a cardboard box, that's not just something that's thrown over the fence, because someone forgot to clean the exhibit.
Right.
It's actually enrichment for that animal.
I've seen that in a lot of the exhibits, something different each time. And I just tell, my daughter will ask, and I said, that's their new toy.
Yeah, exactly. It's just something to interact with, something that's new to them. They don't often always get. We have a great enrichment and training program in our zoo. Jane Ann Franklin is the supervisor of animal training, and she has just got some really creative ways to get down to that. Another enrichment item that you might see in the summertime is when we give our frozen treats to the polar bears or something. Sometimes we give blood sickles to them.
Fantastic.
That's something that the commissary does. They'll make blood sickles and give them to the carnivores. Yeah, something I don't ever want to...
but people have seen that, big blocks of ice
right,
and stuff
exactly.
And where the polar bears are. And I even saw the other day when we were looking at, it was the brown bear.
Yes.
And he was...
he or she?
Well, we have one of each.
Oh, so I don't know which one. I did not pay that close attention. It was a brown bear. And we were watching from behind the glass in the rough area, where the broken kind of road is.
Mm-hmm.
And the bear was just milling around and sniffing really actively and eating. And we noticed, there's the food pellets were all dispersed about.
Mm-hmm.
And my son acknowledged, he was perplexed. Because we have a dog,
mm-hmm.
and we feed the dog out of a bowl.
Sure.
Kind of like I said, he's, the bear is eating. And then he said, he's trying to make the connection between Dee Dee eats out of a bowl, and this bear is just like finding, how'd the food get there? He was so confused, And so I explained to him, I said, I think, I'm not a zoologist or anything, or a keeper, I said, but I think they just... they make the dog, they make the bear look for its food like it would if it lived in a forest, you know. And he said, oh, okay. And he was, you know, sniffing around and then got into, look, over there, trying to, well, he can't hear you. But fine, whatever gets you excited.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Foraging. That's a foraging is something that animals in the wild, remnant wild will do, and that's something that we like to allow them to do as well. And so, for instance, this isn't foraging necessarily, but Cunick, when she was new here, we would put a burlap, we would put a boomer ball, which is just a big flexible ball, in a burlap sack. And that weight and feel of that would imitate a seal, which is the prey item for a polar bear. So she would smack that quote-unquote seal around,
right.
Which is something that they would do in the wild, which is an innate behavior that they have. So, yes, you're right. Correct. Foraging for food is
They're trying to mimic part that for them.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've talked about some of the $400,000 a year for food. I'm glad that that is not my family's budget, because that's impressive. But unfortunately, if I bought all produce and pure things, it was more expensive. So we have to think about that for the zoo. If you're going to have that high quality, non-processed things, you got to help the zoo raise money for the food. But let's talk about some little pieces of information that people won't necessarily, they don't realize when they're just walking around the zoo. So for example, before we started this podcast, I mentioned to Kyle, I said, I just realized, whether it was from, I don't know where I got my information, but it must have been a good job on your part with the media relations, but about the woolly monkeys.
Yes.
I learned that the woolly monkeys are very, very special. So tell people about those and maybe some other animals that we don't realize just how special they are, or something else about the zoo in particular that we don't know how special it is.
Well, I think one of the things people may not understand is most of the species that we have on our campus are species that are in trouble in the wild, who need conservation, who have a conservation issue. So we specialize in those animals. So, for instance, one of the most endangered species on the planet is the gazelle, the Moor gazelle, and we have one in the yard. If you are walking toward the 40 Theater near the line, going toward the elephants and lions, it's on your left. It's a beautiful creature. So that's one of the most endangered species on the planet. We have one. And let's see.
The woolly monkeys.
You said the woolly monkeys.
Right. Let's visualize our trip around the zoo.
If you go a little further past the elephants and you, near the Islands Cafe, near the Apostat Cafe, going toward Gorilla Forest on your right, is the woolly monkeys. And there are only two left in North America, and they're right here in Louisville.
And they are really fun to watch.
They
are. People don't realize sometimes you can go inside.
Yes.
There's a little area to view them inside. So if you go there and you say, oh, there's no woolly monkeys here right now, go inside.
Go inside,
yes. They're probably inside.
Yes, that little building that's on the sort of the end of their exhibit, their outdoor exhibit, is also inside. So they sort of go between the two. But the last two in North America are here in Louisville. Henry and Tomas are their names. And at one point, woolly monkeys, we had a nice breeding program here. And then other zoos were having trouble breeding theirs, and we were having a success in breeding ours. And now just natural whatever, we're down to two, of course. But we have the final two in North America, which is really special and cool. So that's another one. Let's see. This is not animal related, but another thing people don't realize is that we are a botanical garden. So we're zoological gardens and botanical garden. So if you come here, there's all kinds of plants and
well, elements. A lot of them are labeled.
And a lot of them are labeled,
right,
for reasons. We have the oldest, one of the oldest bur oak trees, and I may even be in the state.
Actually, where is that? Where?
It's near Gorilla Forest. If you are passing Gorilla Forest and you're walking down toward Tiger Trender, following that sort of natural path,
okay,
it is right there on the right, across from the Gorilla Forest gift shop.
Okay.
It is labeled.
I will look for that.
You should. It's a beautiful tree, and it's labeled. And
it might compete. I have a favorite tree of Louisville. Maybe this, I have to check it out.
What is your favorite tree of Louisville?
In old Louisville Central Park, there's a fabulous old tree. That there's no better tree to sit under.
Oh, nice.
In all of Louisville. So I will have to test out this tree at the zoo and see if it can compete.
Well, there is a bench that you can sit under the tree.
Awesome. I will test it out.
So that's kind of fun. And those are things that people don't realize. And I think another people maybe don't realize is that, they can plan their visit with us. And we have daily demos that we do that are on our website that, you know, a couple times a day we'll do a seal and sea lion demonstration, for instance. We'll do a giraffe feeding a couple times a day. The tigers down at Tiger Tundra get fed.
It's really cool.
Trained a couple times a day.
They get so close.
You really, it's nose to nose, especially at Tiger Tundra. And you get to see just so close up. And when we train our animals, it's not so that we can show off what they can do. It really is a part of their health management. So if, for instance, one day we ask them to get on their hind legs, and then the next day they can't, well, there might be a problem, you know, because that behavior, the day before they were able to execute that behavior. So that gives us some insight into their health. So if we, for instance, if you watch the SEAL program and the tiger demonstration, we ask them to show them their teeth so we can see their teeth. And that's another part of their health management. So these are really not to show off the tricks, per se, as much as it is to just see what their health looks like.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about some seasonal stuff, because we just mentioned some things that you can see anytime you come visit. And I know fall is upon us, so let's talk first about the Halloween, because the tickets are pretty much, when this airs, they're going to be ready and available online.
Yes.
And so, so let's tell people about the world's largest Halloween party.
The world's largest Halloween party presented by Meyer is indeed one of the world's largest Halloween parties. It's such fun. And, you know, we distinguish ourselves. It's a place to be seen and not scared. It's a place to wear your costume if you want. You don't have to. I mean, you know, it's not necessarily you have a costume, but it is such a fun place to come and show your costume off. And there's trick-or-treating for those under 11. And you're going to see probably almost every storybook character you know on campus,
as you walk around
to greet you and meet you with your kids. And there's lots of photo opportunities.
What is the first day?
Is October 4th this year, and it runs every weekend in October. And our prices are just a little different, so I'm going to direct you to our website to check all that out, littlezoo.org.
Yes, because there are different options. And,
yes.
And I did read in my Zooline magazine, my magazine that I got, that even if you're a member, you have to reserve tickets this year just to help control crowds.
Yes, I was actually just about to tell you the newest aspect of our
But I pay attention.
Team. You that's, do. You're very fine. Thorough. I love it. Stephanie rocks. Use that in a promo.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes, this year it's something new for the world's largest Halloween party is that we're going to control capacity. And that really is just to give our guests a safe and comfortable and memorable experience. So we're asking even our members to purchase a ticket if they know which night they want to come to purchase that ticket. There is an option to purchase tickets for any night of the week. It's just a higher ticket price. And all of that is online. So it's like I said, the ticket prices vary depending on if you're a member or a non-member and which night you want to come.
Right, LouisvilleZoo.org.
LouisvilleZoo.org. And you can also go to the Meyer stores and buy tickets for $6.50, which are good. For any night, I believe. $7.50. And that's all in our trunk line. If you have trunk line,
right.
It's all in our trunk line. It is all on our website as well.
Awesome. So that's definitely the main attraction of the fall is the world's largest Halloween party, for sure. And I would encourage people to get there early. If you think, I want to be there at 6, there's a lot of people that go. So in
yes.
terms of traffic, just plan for that.
Yes.
And so that if you plan for it and you get it all under control and your kids are fed and they're happy, it's going to be it will be one of the most memorable Halloween events that you do, for sure. So what about in the winter? Because I hear a lot of people like, it's cold, I don't want to go to the zoo. We'll still go to the zoo and we'll go to some of the indoor, you know, see the snakes and,
yes.
and the Herp Aquarium and stuff like that. But what would be some other unique offerings, like if the kids are out from school?
Well, you know, we have a winter break camps, and all that is also on our website. We have spring break and winter break and fall break camps and with our education.
So it's not just summer camps.
It's not just summer camps.
Anytime
That's
the
true.
Kids are off from school, you might want to look at the Louisville Zoo website because they might have
yes,
something for your kids to do.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely. And like you said, I mean, you said it. We have indoor spaces that folks can come and view, you know, the Herp Aquarium, for instance. There's an indoor space at Glacier Run. You can come and watch the polar bears indoor, you know.
Right.
There's the Meadow Zoo, which is open.
The gorillas.
And the gorilla forest and islands is indoors. Part of that is indoors as well. So there's plenty of indoor stuff to do at the zoo. Yes, you have to walk between the buildings, but hey, you get a little cold and you get warm again.
Yeah, I never had a problem.
And something that people may or may not realize is that our animals are so active in the winter. They just, you know, some of the animals are really, really winter animals, of course, polar bears being one. But you know, they like that nip in the ear, and they're more active in some respects. So that's,
right.
That's
so don't think of it as just as a spring, summer, fall type place to go.
Yes.
The winter is totally manageable.
There's just as much fun to be had in the winter. And you know what? The bonus is there's less crowds in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there's it amazes me. We're open. Another thing people don't realize is that we're open all but 3 days a year. We're closed New Year's Day, Christmas Day, and Thanksgiving Day. And so every other day we're open. And I think what amazes me is that there's never been a day when I've been there when there's not been at least, you know, a handful of people there, even on the coldest or rainiest days.
Right.
So
people want to go to the zoo, they're going to go to the zoo.
Exactly.
And so what about some annual events that people can count on?
Well, like you said, Halloween's every year. We do an Earth Day celebration every year in Earth Day, in Earth Month. Usually we turn the whole month into a party called the Party for the Planet. And somewhere on or near Earth Day, usually that Sunday of Earth Day weekend, we will celebrate Earth Day with a cheap $2 admission, which is big fun. And we'll have a bunch of vendors in that day and a bunch of educational opportunities, in addition to just normal educational opportunities that day. And that's always fun, celebration of the Earth, because we all share the Earth. And our mission at the zoo is to better the bond between people and the planet. We do a holiday program. I didn't mention we do a winter holiday program, usually in December. So be on the lookout for that in your trunk line and on stuff. Usually in February, if you're looking for a cheaper version of something to do, we do a Dare to Care food drive.
Oh,
where you
right.
get
yes.
where you get a discount off admission. I'm not entirely sure this year what that discount's going to be, so I won't say it. But usually in February, actually January, February, we'll do. Actually, December, January, and February, we'll do some sort of food drive, probably with Dare to Care, which is a great opportunity. You bring a can, go in, get a discount off tickets. So that's something to look forward to. And like I said, Earth Day and Halloween and
summer movies.
Summer movie series, yes. We'll have a bunch of summer movies up in the Oasis Field. We've got one coming up soon.
To kind of wrap up the summer.
Wrap up the summer, exactly.
And you have things for adults, too.
Yes, we do.
We have a very popular event recently.
We do. Our Friends of the Zoo Board, which is our... Friends of the Zoo is our fundraising board, one of our fundraising boards, and they do an event which is super, super popular for adults, Brew at the Zoo. It's in
people were like on Facebook trying to find tickets. It was like, you could scalp tickets to the Brew at the Zoo?
Exactly. In August, we bring a bunch of local breweries and some wineries in and local restaurants who come in and just sample their offerings. And it is a popular ticket. It usually sells out. This year we sold out, I want to say,
very fast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was kind of fun. And so you can always look forward to that in August. And, of course, in the summer, nearly every other weekend, we've got some sort of character coming in for a meet and greet
yes.
or something along those lines.
And you always, you know, switch up the 4D movie. And have different options for that, too.
Yes.
And so there's just so much to do at the zoo, whether you have just a baby and you're putting him in the stroller and you're going to the zoo for some exercise.
Yes.
So I've seen that. Or if you have older kids that want to participate in camps, volunteer opportunities, or adults looking for beer at the zoo.
It's true.
You have something for everybody. And I was going to share my, before we wrap it up with, you know, Kyle, I'm going to make Kyle tell you a joke. before we do that, I was going to share with everyone what I told Kyle that I most recently started doing with my kids at the zoo, because we've been to the zoo tons of times. I can't even count how many times. And I'm always looking for ways to evolve it and make it new and fresh for my kids, but also to make them actually learn, because my children have very short attention spans. This is not true of all kids. I've been to the zoo with friends' kids who actually sit and ponder and look at the animals. My kids will say, hey, that's an elephant. Hey, that's a lion. And they want to switch. It's like, sit, let's talk about it. Let's learn. And so I started bringing their primary journals. And they have, and most parents of young children that have gone through elementary school will know what a primary journal is. It is kind of like a composition notebook. It has a blank spot on the top for drawing, and then it has the little lines on the bottom for the kids to write. And so my kids will come with, they get to pick, you want markers, colored pencils, what do you want to bring, sometimes stickers, and we put them in our family backpack for the zoo, and when they walk around, if they want to, I encourage them to sit at an animal, and they draw that animal. My son, who can write, writes about the animal and just kind of observations about the animal. Or we talk about it and I read the descriptions and he takes a piece of information he thinks it's interesting and writes it down. And then my daughter, who does not know how to spell or write, she can write letters though, I have her go to the description of the animals and copy something. You know, this is, you know, I would, rhinoceros, like, oh, that's a little daunting for you, four-year-old. So, you know, but tiger, we can copy that, you know, and tiger starts with T. And we, my zoo, I find it so relaxing now because we go and we sit by the animals and talk about them. It's not just how quickly can we run and see every single animal. So I wanted to share that with everybody so that you could think about that next time, that it's part of that learning is having them reflect on it. And you can, by providing them with that drawing or writing opportunity, a little pad, a big pad, whatever, it's going to, you'll be surprised at the reflection that the kids have. It's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys do stuff like that at the camps and everything. But just as a parent, I came up with that. I just decided to do that. And it's really wonderful and relaxing for me not to be sprinting after them at the zoo anymore. Okay, so it is that time. It is Friday, so we want to kick off your weekend with a Friday funny for you to take back to tell your child and get the weekend off with some laughter. And going with the theme of the $400,000 worth of food, she is going with a food-related joke that some of the animals may eat this food in their diet. So here we go, Kyle. Make us laugh.
Okay, I was trying to come up with an animal one as well, and I'm not a joke teller, but this requires your interaction. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Okay.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Lettuce.
Lettuce who?
Lettuce in!
All right, lettuce into the zoo. Lettuce.
Sorry, I apologize.
I'm sure some of the animals eat lettuce. Do your kids eat lettuce? The animals eat lettuce. That maybe you could convince them.
The animals eat lots of lettuce.
Well, thank you, Kyle. Kyle Shepherd from the Louisville Zoo for sharing this podcast time with us and educating us on the zoo with a little more information than we knew before.
Thank you for having us.